This is Jamila and Austin. We're from Washington State.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Sure. Hi, I'm Matt, and I'm from New York.
Hi, my name is Wendy. I'm from Brooklyn.
And you are listening to Cider Chat. This is episode number 101. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, it's a special episode because we're not only speaking to makers, as we will hear from some award-winning makers in New York State, but we're also hearing from enthusiasts, folks who are attending a special event that took place last Wednesday in New York City. There'll be more on all of that in just a moment. Before we delve into the good news coming out of New York State and New York City, I want to catch you up on a couple event topics. One is coming in from the Cellar Masters of Los Angeles, California. There's going to be the 44th. Think about that, the 44th annual U.S. Amateur Wine Competition. And there is going to be a place there for cider and mead. If you want to find out more about that, go to the events section in Cider Chat, and you'll be able to get the link to that. But I will read it off to you now if you're in that area and you want to get in. You have to do this sooner than later because it's happening this November. You could just go to Cellar Masters, that's plural with an S, LA.org. Again, that's Cellar Masters, LA.org. And it looks like a fun competition, and maybe you didn't even know that was happening local to your region. Of course, California is a huge wine state, but the apple is really making a good showing. Up north in the area around San Francisco in the Sonoma-Napa region, where we are still thinking about everybody who has come out on the other side of that fire there and are recovering. And then you go down the coast, down into like Santa Cruz area, Apple County region, where I will be this coming weekend. And then going down to Orange County, LA region, folks are really enjoying cider and getting into that groove. So if you want to check that out, again, go to the events page and you could get a link there and send along your cider or your mead. And who knows, you will probably come out a winner because every cider in my mind is a winner. If somebody took the time to make it and if you enjoy drinking it, what's not to say that is not a winner right there from the get-go? Who cares what other people think? If you enjoy drinking your cider, that Ciderville is a winner. And the other event I want to be talking about is coming up this weekend. That is the 23rd Annual Cider Days. It takes place in Franklin County. I guess they actually call it Franklin County Cider Days, but I don't think I ever really can. It's just not how I know it. But it takes place this weekend, and on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m., there is going to be a cider meetup at the Root Cellar in Greenfield, Massachusetts. They are opening up their doors, welcoming cider travels near and far to come along. Bring your own bottle if you're a commercial maker, or if you make your own cider, or you want to pick up a commercial bottle just to share and join in some engaging chit-chat. I am sure that's going to be happening there. It's only a $5 corking fee. And you get to hang out with folks coming from all over the map. I mean, there are, you know, Tom Oliver's in from the UK. I guess he's already in New York State somewhere having a ton of fun. There's all these Asturian cider makers. And when I say that, if you don't know, that's a region of Spain. They don't even think they're part of Spain. They are epicenter of cider. A lot of people coming in from all over. There's a German cider maker coming in. I don't know if those folks are going to be going to the cider meetup. It might just be local yokels and some fun, cool people, but you know, you got to start somewhere, just like Cider Days did. And I started this little event last year to provide a space for people to hang out. So again, that's at the Root Cellar on Greenfield this coming Friday night, November 3rd. There will be a link in the show notes to that. You could go to the Cider Chat Facebook page and see the invite. It's just really a scene to just warm up. And in terms of the weekend weather coming into New England, where this event's going to be taking place, it looks a little bit on the cool side, somewhere in the high 40s for the weekend. You might want to bring a little bit of potential wet gear. The events are both indoors and outdoors. Bring some sandwiches. Make sure you bring some water. And certainly don't forget a glass. It's going to be a ton of fun. I hope you enjoy it. I wish I could be at Cider Days this year, but like I said, I'll be on the West Coast and talking to some cider folks out there for sure. But also going to a wedding. So you got to do what you got to do. I will miss everyone, but in the future, there's always another cider. There's always another glass of cider. And we know there's always going to be another Cider Days. So take care if you had a good time and let me know how it went. Well, alrighty then. It's going to be time now to make sure you get that little glass in hand if you can. And if you're driving, keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. Yes, indeed. But for those of you who can, I hope you're pouring yourself a nice glass of cider because we've got a cacophony of chats here. I'm going to first roll in with a couple mini chats while I was cruising around at an event. And let me give you the whole picture. This just took place last Wednesday when I went to New York City, where I took the day off to celebrate the fact that I had just released the 100th episode of A Cider Chat. Yes, indeed. That was pretty amazing. To me, sometimes you know how you surprise yourself. You look in the mirror and you go, like, really? Really? That's how I felt. So I had gotten an invitation from Sarah Grady and Jennifer Smith. Jen is the executive director of the New York Cider Association, and Sarah Grady works at Glenwood. And Glenwood is kind of like it's a little outside of the city, up in like the Hudson River Valley, I'm going to say. And both of these gals work together, and they are bringing a lot of value to the New York State cider scene. There's over 80 cideries in this state that is well known as the Big Apple, not just New York City itself. And there's a lot of movement, and that's what this event was like. So it was really showcasing ciders. I went down just for the afternoon, took the bus out of Hartford, came back in the way, way early morning hours, back on the bus again. But it was time so well spent because the first hour before the actual mini cider fest that took place was to showcase New York makers who won awards at the Royal Bath and West Show, which takes place in the UK. And this happened last May, I believe it is, of 2016. So there's a bunch of makers, U.S. makers, who won at a UK competition. That is pretty stinking cool. Now, I recorded that entire conversation. It's about an hour long, and that's going to be part two of this two-part series on how a cider is igniting New York. So stay tuned for that. In the meanwhile, I had some time both before that event and afterwards to cruise around at Hidden Stars, which took place right after. And this all took place at the Astor Place, which is this kind of like a big function center. And at the downstairs level, there's a nice wine shop that also has ciders too. So if you're hunting around New York City, you're not too far from Washington Park, you could go over there at the bottom of Astor Place off of Lafayette and check that out for some ciders to grab and go. Anywho, I walked around Hidden Stars and I got to meet some really fun makers and get some background stories. And the first one I came upon was Kyle Shear at Graf Cider. Again, a New York-based cidery. He's going to tell you more about that. I was super stoked to meet him. I've been wanting to hunt Kyle down for a while, ever since he left Millstone Cellars down in Maryland. So let's first go to that chat with Kyle and hear more from Graf Ciders. And then we'll be rolling into a number of mini chats and hearing from cider enthusiasts. It's a cacophony, like I said, of conversations. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
craft cider out of Newburgh, New York, in the Hudson Valley. My name's Kyle Scherer. I'm one of the owners. The other owner is my sister. We started...
Well, let's give her a shout-out, too.
Sarah Scherer.
Sarah Scherer.
My history dates back to starting Millstone with my father back 5 years ago. So we were doing all Wildies fermented, dry, sour-style ciders.
I've wanted to talk to you forever. I'm so stoked to meet you.
Thank you. That's humbling. Thank you.
Your dad's up in my neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
But I really want to hear what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we were doing everything in oak. Distributed 76 states, were pretty successful. I think what we were doing focused more on the sour beer drinker than I think the existing cider consumer, but the style of cider we were making wasn't beer focused. It was more what was being made over in Europe, and it's still being made over in Europe. It's it's very similar to natural wine. It's all fermented with wild microbes. And in the 5 years I was at Millstone, I was expecting someone to take this style of cider more mid-tier.
What do you mean by that, more mid-tier?
So while Millstone and I think some of the Asturian Spanish Bass ciders do well, it never really got past this little niche audience. And you look at the success of sour beer and everything going on with that.
Totally.
And
it's like the sour beers are the number one beers that actually women are going to right now. All the women brewers want to make sour beer. So it makes sense that people would be going wild over sour cider. So what do you think's going on?
Well, I think sour ciders don't exist as a concept in most Americans' heads right now. And so what Craft is trying to do is bring down price point. As unsexy as it sounds, bring down price point, put it in a more accessible packaging, get it into cans, and just build exposure. So with our branding, we decided to focus on something a little more contemporary. We followed kind of the better beer brands and said, you know, what does cider feel like? Have an amazing artist called, his name's Caleb Luke Lynn, and we do kind of this storybook.
Your artwork here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a fantastic job with it. And, you know, we focused on kind of creating styles within cider. So we do three main lines. We have our rustic, which is 30% comes from a massive 2,500-gallon oak foeder, and then we blend that in with young Brett fermented cider, and we actually isolated this Brett strain from a wild apple tree in New Paltz. We actually went around the East Coast fermenting a couple different wild apples trees, sending them down to a yeast lab called RVA Yeast in Richmond, and then isolating different strains, Brett, Sack. Ended up with a Brett strain that we use for all of our fermentations now. So we have the rustic, which is just, you know, very similar to an Asturian style cider because we don't really have the tannins that the Bass cider producers do from buying it, you know, most of their apples from France. Then we have our Goza style, which, is it a Goza? No, absolutely not. It's a bastardization. It's a little extrapolation. But at the end of the day, it gets craft beer drinkers excited about cider. And that's the biggest thing. We would go with Millstone, do so many festivals, and people would be like, you know, I don't drink cider. And they're like, do you like sour beer? So, I mean, even when we're doing tastings now, we're like, hey, do you want to try a sour? You know, we don't specify what it is. One thing cider does really well, especially when you're doing wild yeast fermentations, is it makes, I think, better sour products than what beer can do. That has a lot to do with the body of the cider itself. It has a lot to do with the chemistry that's around it. So do a natural fermentation with beer to get a drinkable product takes 6 months to a year. For us, we can do it in about a month and a half. And that's super exciting. Then the fact that we have no complex carbohydrates. We can put it in a can. We don't have to risk cans exploding. That's super exciting. So there's all these really cool things that kind of exist with the chemistry of cider that allows us to explore these sour flavors in ways that beer can't. And at the end of the day, most Berliner Weisses and Goes are trying to replicate fruit flavors. Well, with cider, we start with fruit. So what better way to kind of get those flavors out there?
Definitely. So one more time, you are located in?
Newburgh, New York.
And is there a tasting room?
There is not, though we are expanding in the fall of 2018 and should be putting a 2,000-square-foot tasting room up there.
Wow. So there's a lot of growth right now for you. You got a lot on your plate, don't you?
Yeah, we're excited. I'm shocked at the reception. You know, it's kind of like, you know, best case scenario, and I feel like, you know, overall people are excited to learn what cider can be, you know, and kind of express some of the European influences along with contemporary beer making technique, I guess flavor profiles more than techniques, because at the end of the day, the chemistry is all much very like wine.
Absolutely. Wow. So cider really is like running in your family here. Your sister and you are like rocking it out. You got this like whole
cider dynasty. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Really great. Well, I hope to meet up with you again at a longer chat that we can have, but I really appreciate your time here today.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your time.
I really appreciate it.
Just just across the room at this event called Hidden Stars. I then walked over to meet Dylan, who was serving some ciders from Naked Flock. And it was a really fun conversation hearing the story behind the label and artwork for this New York State cidery, Naked Flock.
Hi, my name is Dylan. I'm with Naked Flock Hard Cider in Warwick, New York.
Warwick, New York. That's not too far from New York City, is it?
No, yeah. We're just about an hour north of the George Washington Bridge. Really easy drive. Great for a day trip.
Mm-hmm. Is there a tasting room at Naked Flock?
Yeah, that's right. So we're part of Applewood Winery there in Warwick. So we have a whole selection of wines to taste as well as our ciders. Lots of specialty variety ciders on tap during the weekends. And we actually have our event coming up in November, the Hard Cider Experience. That's going to be November 4th and 5th. It's a really great hard cider and food pairing. We're working with a great local restaurant, The Helm, who just got voted best new restaurant in Orange County by Hudson Valley Magazine.
Ooh-wee, boy, I can imagine what those pairings are going to be like.
Oh, I can't wait. Going to gain an extra 2 or 3 pounds after that weekend.
Well, you know, you have to do it for the cause.
Right.
Now, with the Naked Flock ciders, you got the most wicked cool label.
Thank you.
It's this naked goose, I'm going to say?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so
not a duck.
Well, so the story behind the Naked Flock is really funny if you've never heard it before. It's based on a little bit of folklore out of the town of Warwick, where we're based. So as the legend goes, in the 1800s, there was a pastor who you see on our label. He was friends with the author Herman Melville of Moby Dick fame.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day, Melville came back from a trip to China with the gift of some seeds for the pastor and the church's flower garden. As it turns out, these seeds from China were poppy seeds. And if you have any idea what they were using poppies for in China back then, you might have an idea where the story is going.
So we'll talk about that later.
So one day the geese decided they wanted a little snack, so they broke into the garden and ate all the poppy flowers that had grown there. This, of course, got them totally stoned off their asses. They passed out for a good couple of hours, and nobody was sure what happened. They thought they had died suddenly for some reason. So making the best of a bad situation, they started plucking them, getting ready for a nice goose roast for dinner that night. But of course, before they could get the fires rolling, the geese woke up and started stumbling around the town totally naked. And of course, back then, very small religious community there, everybody thought the geese had been risen by the devil or it was somehow sinful, demanded that the pastor put the geese down. But of course, the pastor was a little bit smarter than that. He knew something else was up, so he found himself having to take a stand for his quote-unquote naked flock. Just like we like to say, we're taking a stand for a true naked hard cider with no additives, no artificial flavorings, no sugars added, just that natural, delicious Hudson Valley apple juice.
And you're here at the New York Cider Week. It's going to be
right.
A busy night of pouring, isn't it?
Yeah, here we have a sold-out crowd for tonight. I'm really looking forward to
no
it. It's
doubt.
Going to be a great night.
And all your ciders are both in 22-ounce bombers, kind of like your flagship cider, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you also have 4-packs of cans.
Yeah, that's right. We have our draft and current Saison ciders available in 4-pack 12-ounce cans year-round, as well as our year-round 22-ounce bottles. And we've always got seasonals coming out, so keep an eye on our Facebook page.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
The farmer in the dell, the farmer in the dell. Hi-ho, the derry-o, the farmer in the dell.
Oh, I do like the name of this cider festival, which was called Hidden Stars. It wasn't huge. It was rather intimate. And they had a little jazz band happening. They had some cheese being served. It was very, very nice. And it was just that region of the U.S., New York. And wouldn't you know it, I was looking for these folks, and there they were, Big Apple Hard Cider. I got to have a little chat with Danielle Von Schreiner, who was on episode number 35, and she sent me home with a couple ciders, and I'm going to open up the Soho Cider right now while I'm listening to this with you and salute Danielle. This is a kick-ass cider. Really enjoy it. Let's hear a little bit about this amazing cider, and I'll tell you a little bit more about another cider that she sent me home with, too, right afterwards.
You said that all the proceeds are going to what organization?
God's Love We Deliver.
And tell us a little bit about God's Love We Deliver.
God's Love We Deliver is just a fantastic organization. It feeds everybody who's in need, that needs nutritious foods, that can't shop or cook for themselves. And it's completely free, and it's all non-for-profit.
Is it based in New York?
It's based in New York. It's based in Soho. They are so generous, and they're such a lovely group of people. The other opportunity is that when you're drinking, we were thinking, you know, can we give back? So all the proceeds of Soho go directly to God's love.
Wow.
So you buy a bottle of Soho at the Ear Inn in Soho, the New York's oldest pub. Little fun fact.
No kidding, not McSorley's.
No, it's the Ear Inn. It's 200 years old.
The Ear Inn. How do you spell that?
E-A-R-I-N-N.
Okay, E-A-R-I-N. We want to make sure I get the spelling correct because I have difficulty with my spelling.
And,
well, that's cool.
And so when you're drinking, you're doing good.
Yeah, so I love that.
It's really fun, right?
You do all this great stuff. My goodness. I see. So you have a nice setup here at this event at Hidden Stars, and you have some big bottles of Big Apple. What are you pouring here tonight?
So we're pouring our Brooklyn cider, our signature, and we're also pouring our Hell's Kitchen. So the Brooklyn is the horchata-infused, a little bit of cinnamon, undertones of apricot, and the Hell's Kitchen is sriracha tequila-infused. And we finally perfected it after 2 years of working on this.
Really? Perfected? Because it was pretty damn good when I had it before.
Well, believe me, it's been a work in progress, but in order to get a great nose and then a fantastic balanced mouthfeel, it's taken a little while. But I think we perfected it. I want to make sure you try it and see how you like it.
It's so great seeing you guys here.
Fantastic seeing you.
Have a great night of pouring.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We'll see you around.
I have a true confession. I am drinking the Soho because I already drank all the bottles of the Hell's Kitchen that she gave me because I couldn't stop myself. It was so good. What a nice balance of the tequila and sriracha. I mean, you wouldn't think. I mean, this was out of my scope when I was making cider early on. And now the innovation that's happening around the map, it's so much fun when it really works and it's balanced. And, you know, it's all about balance. And this is right on. So thanks again to Danielle from Big Apple Hard Cider. Next up, we're going to hear a little bit from some cider enthusiasts. We're going to get a couple clips here because I think it's really interesting to know what each of them are saying about cider. I was just randomly walking up to people. Well, they're actually standing in line waiting for this amazing cheese spread that was being served. So they're kind of a contained audience. I mean, were they going to say, no, I don't want to talk to you? I mean, people in Ciderville don't typically say that. They were so kind to be able to offer me their viewpoint on cider and to see what they said to each question. Let's listen in.
This is Jamila and Austin. We're from Washington State.
Washington State?
Yeah.
We're from Seattle.
Yeah.
No kidding. So you must know cider.
Plenty of apples.
Yeah, there's a lot of apples. And lots of amazing cider on Washington.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Wow.
So we've been drinking cider for a while. My favorite style of cider? It's a hard question.
I kind of like the fruity ones. I'm getting into the fruity ones,
A little sweeter, I think. I like to kind of like, I don't know, when I eat an apple, I like the sweetness of that, so I like to kind of go through into the cider also.
Yeah.
How do you explain cider to your friends?
It's like, to me, it's like a, well, if we're talking about hard cider, which is what I'm talking about right now, it's like for me, a better version of beer, because I feel like beer is super heavy and I'm not always into it, so I almost always go for ciders, like if I'm going out for a drink and not wanting a beer. Yeah.
Very good. And what would you want to know about cider? Anything, you have any questions about cider?
For me, like there's a range of types, I think. I'm not really familiar with how many kinds there are.
How many different kinds?
The reason why this is really interesting. Yeah.
Right. So you kind of know the sweet style.
Yeah.
And you know that there's dry, semi-sweet, and very sweet. There's also different products that people add into cider, like a hop cider and fruit ciders.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's like a sparkling cider, like a, you know, bottle conditioned cider.
Yeah.
So really, like, the sky is the limit. If you like, you know, you come from a really strong beer community out in Seattle and a really growing cider scene, I would say that the options for cider far surpass beer.
Oh,
interesting.
How did you find out about the Hidden Stars event?
It was a friend group. We kind of wanted to do something like fall related and fun and switch it up a little bit from dinner. So, yeah.
Great. Well, have a great time in New York City. Nice meeting you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I've been drinking cider for, well, let's see, I'm 30 years old, so 9 years.
There's been a lot of choices except for more recently.
Yeah, nothing. So the cider that I normally drink is
like very sweet. But these ciders here are
amazing,
dry,
right?
Amazing. Yeah, I tell my friends that cider is like it's like what you want to drink when you just like don't want to like chug a beer, like drink a hard alcohol drink. It's just like an easy way to drink. And what do I want to know about cider? I like really don't know like the back end of how it's made and whatnot, so I would love to
learn more. That'd be interesting
more.
To find out.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Cool. Well, right on. Thank you so much.
Hope it helps.
I'm Matt, and I'm from New York,
yeah.
Brooklyn specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been drinking cider for, God, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years.
7 or 8 years.
Possibly, well, at least appreciating it for 7 or 8 years. I prefer dry cider, but I'm open to all kinds. I don't like the sweet stuff as much, so I prefer like the drier type of cider. Explain cider to my friends as a nice alternative to heavy alcoholic beverages. I would like to know more about how cider is made, because I mostly just drink it and don't really think about it. I mean, I know it's made from apples. I know there's a fermenting process, but I don't know much beyond that compared to like a traditional brewery or something
yeah,
like that.
Right on. You do know that cider isn't brewed, but it's fermented.
Right, yes. I know that it's fermented, but I don't know like how that's different from, you know, other types of fermentation that I've seen.
Fantastic. Good, that's
good
to know.
I've never actually toured a cidery. I've toured... actually, that's not true. I have toured a cidery. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they didn't explain.
I think I was just drinking too much, and like I wasn't paying attention.
Sometimes we have our priorities, Matt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Hi, this is Danielle, and I am from upstate New York. I've been drinking cider since I was 21. My favorite style of cider is iced cider.
Ice cider.
Ice okay. cider.
Nice.
I don't have to explain cider to my friends because I force them to take sips of cider instead of having to explain it. And what I want to know about cider is more about the cider making process and how I start my own cidery.
Making ice cider, perhaps?
Making ice cider in New York State.
Hi, my name is Wendy. I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I've been drinking cider for about 20 years. My favorite style of cider is I love the extra dry ones. The bottle conditioned ones they're doing now are beautiful. I explain cider to my friends as super versatile. I'm a cheese expert, so they go so good with cheese, like so amazing, cheddars. I love to cook with them. And what I want to know about cider is I just like want more explanation on the bottle, from dry to sweet. I'd
on
love,
the actual bottle,
yeah.
You like to see that instead of
well, I'm not managing it.
Alcohol. You
right.
just sort of never know when you open it.
Sure.
You
I
know how sweet it's going to
yeah.
be. So I'd love to know a little bit more about that.
That's fantastic. Can you tell me a little bit about your expertise in cheese? I'm kind of curious there.
Sure. I'm actually a wine teacher, chef, but I have a side expertise in cheese. I'm what's called a fromager, like a sommelier of cheese.
Wow, wow.
So nice. I love to pair ciders with cheese, the ice ciders, the dry ones.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
There's a different kind of cider for every kind of cheese.
It brings out the cheese as it does the cider.
Yep.
Wow.
Great.
That's a perfect match. It's really nice meeting you.
Yep. Nice
Thank
to
you.
Meet you.
I'm Alan Southworth, from Connecticut originally, and I live in New York City.
How did you find out about Hidden Stars, the Cider Week event?
So I'm here with my girlfriend, and she has celiac disease. So when we go out for dinner, if I want a beer, and there's no cider.
You look for a cider.
Yeah. Then she found out about it. This is my first cider week. Not her first.
Not your first. You've been drinking cider for a while.
Yes, I'm trying to get him to be a cider snob like me.
A cider snob? Well, why not? And do you have a favorite cider style that you drink?
Dry.
Of course. How long have you been drinking cider?
Probably like 3 years, since 21, you know.
Okay, all right, yeah. Do you know how cider is made? Do you have any idea?
No, I'm learning here.
You're learning here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is this your first cider festival that you've been part of?
No, I went to Cider Week 2 years ago in New York. And
great.
I was at Pie by the Pound, and they did something similar. But this seemed more interesting to me.
Yeah. We have a lot of variation at this particular event. There's like 80 cider makers in New York. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. And the sky is the limit in terms of what you could do with cider.
We're discovering that here for sure.
Pumpkin pie cider today.
You like a pumpkin pie cider?
It was better than I thought, honestly. I wasn't expecting that to be here or to really enjoy it as much as I did. But it's,
right. And did you ever know about Farnham Hill, which is not a New York cidery, before you came here?
I did not.
No. With Louisa Spencer pouring right there? You had no idea that you were standing in front of an icon.
No. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Back in the day, they used to make a farmhouse cider that was like so funkadelic, you know, which is what I really prefer. And now, you know, that's it is served in like the best, you know, restaurants in the world.
Wow.
Well, hey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was fun because I learned something that now cider drinkers want to know how cider is made. In the past, I didn't really hear that thread coming out so vocally. Mainly people wanted to try different styles and they're all about the palate. But when you see that tipping point, when folks want to find a little bit more to educate, to understand the roots of cider, we are on the tipping point, folks. And that is really good news to me. So thanks to everybody who was so willing to chat.
The farmer in the dell, the farmer in the dell. Hi-ho, the derry-o, the farmer in the dell.
That was my first experience at a New York City Cider Week, and I had an absolute blast. So if you're thinking about going next year, don't delay, because you know on both sides of that event, there were some tasty food and cider pairings happening all over the city. What a nice way to visit one of the most happening cities in the world. Next week, stay tuned for part two of Cider Ignites New York City. In that episode, we're going to be hearing a much longer version and the showcase from the 5 award-winning cider makers who won medals at the Royal Bath and West Show in May of 2017. Somehow I had it wrapped around my head as 2016, but it was definitely 2017. Oh, it's hard to keep up sometime as the days go by. That was a really fascinating time, and I can't wait to share that with you. So stay tuned now, and you know, if your friends don't know about Cider Chat, grab their phone and show them how to use it. Well, what I mean by use is use that podcast app that's on their phone. So if you're listening via an iPhone, it's the Apple Podcast app. And if you're on an Android phone, well, you're going to have to download the Stitcher app or Google Play and put in Cider Chat. You don't want to miss this upcoming episode because it really is a showcase of New York and just shows how proud they are and where this state in the U.S., which from all accounts has the most makers, most cideries, I should say, in the U.S., how they keep on bringing cider going up, up, up. Very fascinating indeed. So that's going to be coming up on episode 102. I got to get used to saying episodes in the 100. That'll go live as I'm flying back, so I'm going to go and edit that now because once I'm on the road, it's a little hard to do that. So I can't wait to showcase that with you. And in the meanwhile, I'm going to get myself a cider and come back and fill you in with the final details as we roll on out of this episode 101.
You got to grab that luchi. You got to bust that thang. Get your kicks on the street. Got to kick back, step back. Oh, you got to ski. It's a rat-a-tat-a-rat-a-tat-a-rat-a-tat-a-bala. Rat-a-tat-a-rat-a-tat-a-rat-a-tat-a-holla. Out don't wanna be pushed like a dude the push. And when it comes to the cheddar, keep it under the cushion. I don't wanna be ganked like a dude the gank. And when it comes to the cake, beat me a thank. I don't wanna be pushed like a dude the push. And when it comes to the cheddar, keep it under the cushion. I don't wanna be ganked like a dude the gank. And when it comes to the cake, beat me a thank.
Ow! Ooh, we love the have of that rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. Yeah. Hey, you know, now's a good time for me to say thank you to the folks who are patrons of this here podcast. You too can become a patron of Cider Chat. You just go to Patreon, which is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and it's a website that's set up to help content creators like me. I have a goal right now to get to CiderCon at the end of January. So if you are a commercial cider maker who listens to this podcast and gets a lot of value, and if you listened since the beginning, in fact, many have come up and said that you have, then how about, you know, kicking a little bit back here in support of cider, both for you and around the world, and join the likes of Current Cider and Big Fish Cider Company and Ramborn Cider in Luxembourg, who are part of that campaign page. And oh, commercial cider maker, I believe in you. I believe that you can support a podcast like a Cider Chat for the cost of 2 bottles of cider per month. You could do it. Stay in the land of abundance. Stay in the land of Ciderville. And join that Cider Going Up campaign page today. You know, you'll be looking back and saying, why didn't I do that sooner?
Going up.
Oh yeah, I'm even ending a little sooner than I normally do to give you that time so you could go to Patreon today. Hey, now, this is a real wind caller. I have to be rolling out of here so I could get next week's episode ready for you. It's going to be a hot thing dandy. Remember, part 2 of Cider Ignites New York City. In the meanwhile, take it easy and enjoy all the abundance that Ciderville has to offer to you. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!